If you have a Bible, you can turn today to Psalm 100. Psalm 100, number four of our little foray into Psalms. Just in looking at the benefits of God, His presence, and all the things that go with that. And today, we enter, nicely so, Thanksgiving. Psalm 100, a psalm for giving thanks. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. It's a great psalm, a familiar psalm. And today, I want us, as we come into this week, as we are, of course, together here, to think about worship. This is a call to worship. And it's going to give us some explanatory power and framework for our time together. Question I have for myself, too, is, you know, we come through these doors and we come to this worship service. And I just, question I have for us today as we reflect on these verses is, how do you worship? What is your worship like? What's the temperature of your worship right now as we're thinking about how we come together like this? The psalmist begins with a call to joyful worship. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. The Christian life is a joyful life. Joy. Joy to the world. We're going to sing that in a few weeks. Joy. Now, I'm not talking like fake joy here, okay? I'm not saying, you know, the world's crumbling, you should just put on a happy face and no. But in our context of being with the Lord, generally speaking, we have the means, the reasons, the ability, the power to experience joy. That's what Christian life is and does for us. Now, I want to run you through some scripture references. Each of my points, I'm going to kind of throw some stuff at you and we'll got it. But here's some of these things from God's Word. Psalm 98:4. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Psalm 95 tells us, oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. Paul, the apostle, was a joyous man. When you look at his life, though, he had a lot of reasons not to be. And in prison, in Philippians 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say again, rejoice. He tells us in the book of Colossians chapter 3, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and all spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And in Ephesians 5, he tells us, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. I read that one, I always kind of, you know, think like life would be like a musical, right? Maybe that'd be kind of weird, right? Hey, Brad, how you doing today? The Lord is good. How about you? Yeah, no, we're not going to do that. Although it would be fun. No. But you're seeing from here, this is just a sense of when you're in God's presence, when you are together with God's people, there's something special there. Today, Y'all got me today. I had to break up several times as we were singing because of the waves of sound that were overcoming me and just enjoying God's presence. There's something there in your presence of God that is joy. And we want to experience that and be intentional as we think about these things. You know, and I've heard this almost a trope for pastors in talking about these sorts of things, but I'm going to bring it up anyway. All right? a couple weeks ago, the dealership, there's a guy in there who's talking to our managers, and he looked at me and says, "Hey, you're from Fenimore, right?" I go, yep, I'm Fenimore. He goes, "Oh, yeah, some friends and family there." And he goes, "Your sons play football, right?" I go, yep. He goes, "Yeah, I hear you're pretty rowdy at the games." Okay. Now, okay, admittedly, and y'all, I can be loud, right? I have a loud voice. And over the years here, I have gained a bit of a reputation, I guess, of yelling loudly, particular for a couple of particular players that I know very well, you know, and so, you know, and yeah, it's loud. It is. I admit it. I don't apologize for it. You know, I wasn't there for the one. It's positive cheering. It's positive. Yeah, I'm not ripping it. No, I'm going, you know, let's go, Johnny. Come on, 53. Come on. What's your job? 20. What's your number, Josiah? Next year. See, next year is all about Josiah, so we got it here. But anyway, so, okay, I have it. It's fine. But there is something, you know, when you get into a crowd, a game, sports, you know, Aaron, in your games, and people are cheering, right? I'm assuming that, you know, when you guys win, you had a crowd there, your students there, there's some cheering going on, right? Absolutely. Absolutely. It's fun, you know? And you go, I was at a Vikings game, you know, 50,000 people in an arena. You know, and I was fortunate. There was one time, you know, that, you know, Vikings really whooped up on Green Bay, you know, and the place was rocking. It was just outstanding. It's amazing, right? So we have this just joy of experiencing this together in this place, you know. And again, here's the trope. And yeah, you know, then we come on Sunday morning and we, you know, quietly, you know, have our hands together and bless the Lord, oh my soul. You know, I mean, right? I mean, you're in the presence of God. Now, again, I'm not talking about fake, you know, and I've been in situations where, you know, the emotion is kind of dry, productive, you know, okay, I don't like that kind of stuff. But it's worth considering in our worship, as we are together with God's people, the Spirit in us, around us, God here right now, that there's something there that we can cheer about, that we can be excited about, that's good together. And so the psalmist in these first couple of verses tells us a few things. He says worship should be joyful, right? I mean, yeah, absolutely. You know, it drives me crazy. You see someone singing a great old hymn that just is powerful, and it looks like they just sucked on a lemon while they're singing it. What are we doing? It's joyful. Worship should be joyful. Not fake. Not contrived. You know, there's lament. I mean, we cover the whole thing. But generally speaking, worship is joyful. The psalmist tells us that worship should be glad and willing. So come to the Lord with gladness. We want to. This is something we're offering. It's an offering of praise to God. And the psalmist tells us this. Worship should be vocal and expressive. All right? There's nothing wrong. I encourage to have emotion. I mean, in a relationship with a person, if you have no emotion, there's no feelings there, it's just flat, it's boring. I sat yesterday for 3 hours with this couple who were trying to buy a car. And most of the time, you know, I'm chatty, I like talking, connect, and all the same thing. It was work. There was just nothing there. You know, I'd ask a question, they'd answer kind of flatly, and then they'd look back at their phones. 3 hours. It was brutal. Right? I'm like, come on! You know, trying to find something to talk about, right? It's good. It's good. You know, like today, man, you guys were singing today. It's awesome. Vocal and expressive in our worship. Now, the psalmist then goes on and gives us, kind of fills it in for us, gives us a framework, some reasons. And in verse 3, he lets us know that what fuels our worship. What is it that fuels that, that can fuel that emotion, that could give us that expression of joy? And he says, it's knowledge. Verse 3, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and we are his. To consider God, to know him, for goodness sakes, should stir something in our hearts. Here, let me throw some scriptures at you. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 39. Know therefore today and lay it to your heart that the Lord is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath, then there is no other. To know God, to know who he is. Psalm 95 and verse 6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. In Revelation chapter 4, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Prophet Isaiah in chapter 43. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. And then one more in John chapter 10. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. The thrill, the fuel of worship and joy is God. It's knowing God and that incredible knowledge and certainty that he knows us and that we are his. We are his people. We are his sheep. That joy of relationship, of family. Worship flows from knowing God. One of my favorite books that I read probably every couple of years or so is by a man named J.I. Packer. It's called Knowing God. It's a scholarly book. He goes through God and knowing, but it's powerful. Of just thinking deeply about God, who he is, his attributes, things he does, his power. It's incredible. It's worth your time. I would highly recommend Working Through Knowing God by J.I. Packer. Scripture throughout emphasizes over and over that he's our creator. I mean, he made us. He made everything out of nothing. He's worthy of all of this. And as I mentioned, we are his people. I hope that can settle on your hearts that he chose us. He saved us. He gives us his grace. We are his family. That through his son, Jesus, we can come to him and be forgiven and right with God and enter into his kingdom and flourish with his people. He cares for us like a shepherd. Now we don't, in our culture, less and less agricultural, so maybe the idea of a shepherd isn't as powerful, but it is a powerful one. And I imagine it's, you know, that familiar relationship that's important. Be like, you have a small child. You know, you're in Walmart. You're wandering around the clothes section. You got all these things of clothes there. And the little one kind of wanders off and gets behind some clothes and all of a sudden looks up and realizes mom isn't there. They're scared. You know, and they cry out, Mom, Mom, where are you, Mom? And mom perks up and says, I'm here. I'm here. And just that voice. Oh, mom's there. Okay. Right? That's the shepherd. That's the relationship. That's the joy and peace that we can feel. We come into this place and say, God, God. And he says, I'm here. I'm here. Whatever it is that you may be going through right now, the struggles, the failures, the frustrations, the sicknesses, all the things that pummel us day by day, hour by hour. We feel lost. You feel tiny in a store with big, huge shelves. And God says, I'm here. It's okay. I'm here. And that's the fuel. The fuel for our worship. We come together and know that He's with us. He cares for us. He wants us. He goes after us. That's the great role of a shepherd too. The one that wanders off, he's not going to say, well, I've got plenty more. No, he comes for you. And you may think you've wandered away. You may think that you're far from him. You may feel far from him. You are not. Ever. And no matter how far you think you can run, God will chase and he will climb every mountain. He will ford every stream. He will seek you, for you are his. He will never let you go. So we have great fuel. Fuel of knowledge of who God is to us and whose we are in him. And the psalmist takes us to, I think, the key. The key in joyful worship. And that's the practice of thankful worship. In verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. This week we are thinking a lot about being thankful. Maybe some of you have traditions in your home. I know I grew up a lot of times as we're all sitting around the table and mom and dad would make us say something we're thankful for. You know? And yeah, when you're 8, it's awful, right? Because you're thankful for a lot of things, but you're on the spot, right? So it's usually something like my bike or the turkey or whatever, right? But out of that fuel of knowledge of God comes gratitude. Again, let me throw some scriptures at you. First Thessalonians 5:18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Or Paul again in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. You know, every time I read that, I have to catch my breath. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Psalmist in Psalm 34 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes his boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Or the writer in Hebrews chapter 13. Through him then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips, and acknowledge his name. Thanksgiving, giving thanks, gratitude is the key that opens up the gates of his presence. It's like, you know, I remember when I was doing campus ministry in Minneapolis, I had a job. I was like a caretaker at this apartment complex, big one near the university. I did, you know, light maintenance, took care of the grounds, things like that. And one of the great things about it, and I don't know why, it just seems weird, but, you know, I had a master key. And it's just something about, I don't know what it is, just knowing I got the keys. I can open any door in this building. Every closet, every back room, every apartment is accessible by me. You know, it's kind of powerful. You know, hey, I can just open things, right? And that's what Thanksgiving is for us. Thanksgiving opens the door. It allows us in our own stuff, in our selfishness, in our pride, in our problems, in our suffering. Thanksgiving can open up the gates into praise of God. If you feel stuck spiritually, if you're not feeling it. Now, feelings aren't everything, all right? We have a will and we can determine certain things in our life, okay? But we are feeling people. You know, somebody who has no feelings, we call like a psychopath. We feel. God feels. And if you're in that place, the key to starting to try to seek and get back is gratitude and thanksgiving. And it must be intentional. Think about it. And then part of that then is speaking well of God. That's the psalmist tells that. I will acknowledge Him. I will bless the name of the Lord. Part of that being grateful is, well, I'm just thankful that, you know, I'm so skilled at this, I can make a lot of money. No, it's, I'm so thankful that God has blessed me and provides for me. I'm thankful to God. All good things from God come from God. And so when we are thankful, we're thankful to Him. And we bless His name by speaking well of Him. And also living well for Him speaks volumes. But, you know, like a young child when they're blubbering and sobbing because of something, you're trying to figure out what's going on and you can't get it out of them, you say, wait, use your words. Use your words. And say, yes, in your thanksgiving, in your gratitude, use your words. Encourage each other with it. Encourage other people with it. But we have to be thankful and intentionally thankful. And that is the key into His gates. And then at the end of this psalm, He gives us reasons. All right, you want some reason. Okay, I got knowledge, feeling it. I'm being grateful. I'm going to have some joy here. I'm going to get it there. Well, if you need some more, here's some more fuel for you. The reasons for thankful worship in verse 5. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endures to all generations. He's good. He's merciful. And His truth endures. Again, just for our reference, Psalm 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. The prophet Nahum tells us in chapter 1 of his book, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in Him. In the book of Lamentations, seems odd, being a lament, but he says in chapter 3, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. That's awesome because this lamentation is a lament. It's someone who's complaining, crying out to God. And in the midst of that, says that. Recognizes who God is and is grateful. Psalm 136:1. Give thanks to the Lord for He is good. For His steadfast love endures forever. And then in Psalm 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, Your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth, and it stands. And Jesus tells us in Matthew 24, heaven and earth will pass away, but My words will not pass away. We need something that is solid in our lives. Right? You know, if you have a friend or a spouse, a brother, sister that you know the relationship is secure, that you know that they will not fail, you can trust them, that's a wonderful thing. When you can go to them and know that things may be going crazy around you, and you have that one person maybe that can center you and help you and be with you. You know, like a lighthouse that doesn't move. The ship may be rocked all over the place, the winds are howling. It's dark, you can't see, but that lighthouse isn't going anywhere. And you can see it and reverence it and know where you are. And so it is with God. God is always good. Now, we sometimes question this. Sometimes it may seem not so much. The eternal question about evil and why does God allow evil? And you see the evil in our world. I was just crushed this week. I came across a news thing of a child in northern Wisconsin that they found who weighed like 40 pounds, right? So you're thinking, oh, it must be like a 6-7-year-old kid. That's terrible. 14 years old. 14. Sherry had to send me a encouraging Facebook group or something just to get my mind off it, because I was bothered by this. And they had the pictures of the parents and suspects there. And to put it kindly, they did not look like they had missed any meals. And this child, I hate it. And so we wonder sometimes. That child wondered, is God good? God is good. He's always good. He wants the best for us always. And we can hold on to that, even when it doesn't seem like it. We believe it. We have our faith. And we have that together. Right? Stay in the boat. Your faith, maybe you can't pull that oar right now. You're wondering. We got you. And we remind you that God is good. We know that His mercy never ends. We're forgiven. And we can hold on to that. He is merciful. When I screw up, and I do screw up. When I fall away, and I do. We can confidently know that He is merciful. He doesn't hold it against us. All of our sins. Everything we've done before. Everything I'm currently doing. And everything that I will do, God has forgiven it. He's merciful. He is good. And the psalmist tells us that He is unchanging. How wonderful is that? A solid rock. Something you can count on always, knowing that He will never fail. Knowing He's not going to change. He's not going to like you today and not like you tomorrow. It's not like a junior high friendship where you're best friends today and the next day you see your name is crossed off on their notebook. And maybe the next day you're back on. Who knows? But God is not like that. He loves you. He is with you. He does not change. Psalm 100 tells us how to worship and why to worship. And I greatly desire that for us. You know, it gives us a good framework as you're reading scripture to be reminded of these things. Especially now this week, I encourage you in the frustrations possibly of food preparation, family relationships. We know that they can be trying sometimes. Or even then, we can make a joyful noise to the Lord. Now, I'd like to challenge you with something this week. Okay, we got Thanksgiving; it's very appropriate. So I'm asking you to do this. I really want you to. Okay, try this every day. Give yourself 2 minutes, maybe five. All right. And this week, read Psalm 100. Okay, just get up. By yourself, read Psalm 100. And then, as you read it, just take a moment and give thanks. Take that master key and just open that door of praise to start the day. And maybe it's not something dumb, but just think of anything in your life. You know, it could be your car, it could be your house, it could be your friend. Could be the Cocoa Puffs you have in the morning. Whatever it is, be thankful. Acknowledge it. And I would encourage you, because, I mean, you read this psalm. You know, there's a vitality there, right? As we sang today, there's something there, right? And doing this, again, try this. This may be uncomfortable. It's fine. Include your body in giving thanks. And what I mean by that, again, this may be weird, all right? I don't know. Meal, maybe? You know, we're bodily people. Maybe, dare I say, just like open your hands up like this. Try it. I guarantee you there's something. It's important because we are body people. And there's a reason that people, and the scripture tells us, lift your hands in praise. Why? is this, praise you, Lord, I love you. Okay, that's one thing, right? Praise you, Lord, I love you. That's a different thing, isn't it? Now, again, you know, we're good, you know, northern kind of folks here, right? So maybe just a little bit. Try it, please. Try it this week. Read Psalm 100. Give thanks. Incorporate your body somewhere in there. Try it. Maybe in the week you have your hand all the way up here. Who knows? Could happen. And then, goodness gracious, what would happen if someone raised their hands in our service here? Well, and then I have one final thing for you, all right? I will give next Sunday, I will give $20. Yes. I will give $20 next Sunday to anybody that can come to me and recite Psalm 100 from memory. All right? $20. I'm going to come tomorrow, next Sunday. I'll have a stack of 20s in my pocket. I'll give you now. Again, you may say, I don't need $20. That's fine. I'll give you $20. Put it in the offering. Okay? $20. It's 5 verses. Do a verse a day through the week. Right? Try it. I'll do it. All right? We want to praise the Lord. Let's do one last thing. Please stand. Let's sing a verse. And if you look at your hymnal, like hymnal, how great they are. Most of us probably know it, right? Let's just sing.